having fun yet, Freckles?
Quit staring at my ass.
Here are your hosts, Jason and Anna.
Hey, everybody. It is our extra special super show we do each week, Delta Park Gets Lost. I'm Jason.
And I'm Anna. And we're not going to go in order of the show today.
Nah, what the hell.
Yeah.
It's season 3, episode 2, The Glass Ballerina. Basically, it's a Sun and Jin flashback show all about Sun being a liar. And we will get to that in a little bit. But first, there was quite a bit of a revelation at the end of the show that we want to get to first.
Right.
Should we just jump right into that?
Well, we learn when this show is happening. There's been a lot of speculation about it being in, you know, the future or whatever. And it seems like it's happening. Well, it was happening in real time.
Yes.
We've left 2004 behind. But we learn from, what's his name? Ben.
Ben Linus.
Who tells Jack.
Jack Shepard.
When it is.
And also, we kind of get an idea of the reality that we're in. It's not like some fictional reality, because they're using George W. Bush and Christopher Reeve and the Red Sox.
The Red Sox.
If you could leave this island, why would you still be here?
Yes, Jack. Why would we be here?
You're lying. You're stuck here just like we are. You don't have any...
Your flight crashed on September 22nd, 2004. Today is November 29th. That means you've been on our island for 69 days. And yes, we do have contact with the outside world, Jack. That's how we know that during those 69 days, your fellow Americans re-elected George W. Bush. Christopher Reeve has passed away. Boston Red Sox won the World Series.
If you wanted me to believe this, you probably should have picked somebody else besides the Red Sox.
No, they were down 3-0 against the Yankees in the league championship, and then they won 8 straight.
Sure. Sure, of course they did.
St. Louis Cardinals and the Red Sox celebrate in the middle of the diamond here at Busch Stadium.
That's home, Jack. Right there on the other side of that glass. And if you listen to me, if you trust me, if you do what I tell you when the time comes, I'll take you there.
So what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, Ben also told us that he has lived on the island all his life.
Yeah, which is...
It's not in the clip,
another
but
quirk.
He tells
us that. And he does say, your fellow Americans. He doesn't say, you know, he doesn't take any part in that.
Right.
Well, we don't much either. But, so that's interesting. How was he there his whole life? A lot of people are saying that maybe he's some sort of offshoot of the original Dharma people, or...
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he was, maybe he's the second coming of Christ. That's something you don't hear much.
Yeah, I think Jack's reaction is really interesting, though, because he's not so much shocked that the Red Sox won the World Series as he is just, like, shocked to see something from home.
Yeah.
And from, oh my God, life is still going on, and it doesn't seem to be anything that any of them have considered, because they never really talk about home and what they miss and stuff like that. And so... I thought his reaction was really interesting. And then, of course, you know, the big thing that Ben says is when the time comes, if you do what I say, I'll let you go home.
Right.
And of course, I said, turned to Jason at that point during the show, and I said, that time will come in season 7.
When he has to shoot the new Anna Lucia. So
right.
He can go
something
away.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we thought that was the most revealing part of the show. Of course, it was in the last 3 minutes of the episode.
Right.
But the other part, ooh la la, Anna lucked out.
Whatever. Sawyer, of course, kisses Kate as they're working in the work camp, which is an interesting thing. And I'm wondering, by the way, if the other people in the work camp are the other Taileys who were taken, because there was like 3 and then 9, I think, taken.
Right. And they wouldn't know because they'd never met them.
Right. They didn't know that there were another group of survivors. Well, the Taileys didn't know.
Right.
So anyway, that's kind of, I'm wondering who those people are.
So which kiss was better, Jack and Kate or Sawyer and Kate?
Well, of course, Sawyer and Kate.
Oh, that was so hot. It was so, and he's like, he walks over and his shirt's open. I sound so gay right now. But he walks over and he's all sweaty, and then he just takes her. He's got to have her.
Yeah.
By the way,
I read an interview with Josh Holloway this week, and he said two things that I thought were kind of interesting and funny in it. One, he said that his job stresses him out because he never knows if he's going to come in and find out that he's been killed off, and all of a sudden he's going to have to sell his house and go find work. and also, he said that next time he's in a movie, he'd really like a role where he keeps his shirt on.
Yeah, Anne would like that too. So the other thing that happens there is Alex comes up to Kate and starts, you know, hey, what you doing? Got my dress on. Which I didn't understand.
Alex, by the way, is the daughter of Rousseau, the French woman.
Yes.
Who some people didn't know who that girl was. Danielle. And that's Alex, people. And she helped Claire escape from the
medical
hatch.
Talk about last time, which I thought, I mean, we're kind of off on a tangent here, but we are talking about Alex. Rousseau has been on that island for 16 years and has never come across the others, like their camp or anything like that. It just makes it really, I almost think that she's part of the, if there is in fact two groups of others, I think she might be part of that other part, as is Carl or Chachi or whoever was in that cage. I'm starting to think that maybe that either one of two things, either Alex is now messing with Kate like Chachi or Carl did with Sawyer on that fake escape, if it was fake. Or they really are concerned about each other.
I think there
might
be two
groups. Maybe he's one of the other others.
Of others.
Star-crossed lovers. Anyway.
And because that's why Ben keeps saying, we're the good guys.
Right.
You know, so that makes me think that there's another group of others.
And I watched the video podcast, the official one, and I thought they said, and I didn't go back and watch it again, I thought they said that there were two groups of others, but I can't confirm that. Someone should call in and let us know. But the whole reason that he kissed her was...
Oh. What the hell were you thinking?
I couldn't help myself. You just look so damn cute swinging that pickaxe. Chain gang looks good on you, Freckles.
Sawyer.
Two of those guards got some real fight in them. The rest of them I ain't that much worried about. That heavy sick guy packs a hell of a punch. Shaggy haired kid's got some sort of martial arts training, but I think I could take him if I had to. Oh, and FYI, those zapper things got a safety on them.
Did you see the look on their faces when you got a hold of that rifle?
I'm guessing most of these boys never seen any real action. That blonde who had a gun pointed at you? She would have shot you. No problem.
Why'd she call you James?
Because that's my name. I noticed something else, too. You taste like strawberries.
You taste like fish biscuits.
Yeah.
And then he calls her shortcake, and I thought that was funny.
All of it, of course, on camera with Ben watching.
Right. As soon as it zooms out to Ben watching them and listening to them, and I go, duh.
Duh. Which makes me, which made me also wonder, you know, there was a camera in the hatch. Do you think he's been watching, they were watching that the whole time too?
Oh yeah, probably. They're watching them in the hatch and in the other hatch as well.
And then it's like, oh, go down and pretend to be Henry Gale. They're in the hatch.
Yeah, they're in the hatch.
I don't know. So there's that. So let's go on to Sun.
All right,
this was a Sun episode.
And we saw a lot of Sun and, well, mostly Sun flashbacks, I guess. And Jin, and I'm really just so annoyed with flashbacks in this show lately. They just seem like just time sucks. And I guess we did actually learn from this flashback that Sun is a liar.
And she did have an affair. We didn't know for sure, I don't think. We knew that she was had, you know, thoughts about her English guy, her English teacher, but not really necessarily a relationship. And was he pushed or did he jump?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he jumped because he had her picture or something.
Or he had the pearls in his hand.
I think he jumped.
Yeah, okay.
But and, son, anyway, or else she pushed him. I don't know, but she's a liar. True. She broke the glass ballerina and blamed it on the maid. And she's scared to death of her dad, but she lies.
I think everyone's scared to death of her dad. I'm scared of her dad. Yeah. Of course, I think he's the head of Hanzo. So.
Right. So, as we were watching their flashbacks, I thought, oh, well, you know, that reminds me, everybody on this island really needs to be there because their real lives kind of suck.
It's true. So then the other thing that now that we get after they're lighting the fire and getting ready to the ambush is, has she come to some place now where without Jin, she doesn't want to live or something? I don't understand what this meant, really.
Son, if by chance they get past this, there's another gun. It's inside the blue top, beneath the galley counter.
If they get past you, that means my husband is dead. And I won't care anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know she fell back in love with Jin.
Yeah, and then they had the big fight out on the boat and... Yeah. I don't know. And then, you know, he thought she was dead at the end, and she thought she was dead, and there was that whole let's get together in the water scene, but...
I don't know.
I don't know where that's going.
Let's go to the boat.
Okay.
Stop. I'll shoot.
No, you won't, son. I know you, son, Wakwan. And I know you're not a killer. Despite what you may think... I am not the enemy. We are not the enemy. But if you shoot me, that's exactly what we'll become.
Stop! I will. I'll shoot you.
Woohoo!
That was awesome.
Yeah, so during that whole scene, I'm going... Shoot her! Like from Jurassic Park. Shoot her!
What did you just whisper to me?
Like from Jurassic Park, I said.
No. Oh, during...
Oh, when she said, I know you, son, and I know you're not a killer. I thought that was an interesting thing to say.
Oh, I guess. Oh, so maybe she didn't throw him out of the window.
Or
they seem to know everything. Hi,
yeah,
Molly.
They do. They have a file on everyone.
Uh-huh.
So I felt like... And then Jason pointed out that... we learned something about at the very end about what time this was taking place and anything, everything with that happened with Jack. Mm-hmm. But at first, I felt like this whole episode was just an hour long so that they could lose their boat.
And how did the others get their boat?
Yeah.
How did they get over there?
They didn't come by the beach unless they. We didn't. They just were suddenly at the end of the dock.
And they gave Michael their other boat.
Right. And then they just took off in the sailboat, and they didn't have another boat.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I was totally confused. I don't know how they got there.
I don't know.
They kayaked.
Yeah. Let's go to a phone call. We got a call from Patrick.
Delta Park Project, the most awesomest show in the whole wide world.
That, by the way, is how you get your comment played.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on? This is Patrick calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I was basically calling just to give you guys a little hint of what I've seen in the second episode of the third season of Lost. Basically, I'm starting to believe that Juliet may be the leader and it's not Ben. Ben may be like second in charge, and Juliet may be the main in charge. Reason I get that is because there's a scene after Juliet talks to Jack. She goes into the computer room where Ben's at, and actually I got a little scene for you of what Ben says.
You never made soup for me.
So basically, he just said, you never made soup for me, which makes me think that he was a lab rat. So maybe this whole time, Juliet's really the boss. Huh. Makes us think, don't it? Anyway, Jason and Anna, both of you guys rock. Thanks for the show, and I'll be tuning in.
Thank you, Patrick.
I think that's a good point, Patrick. I'm not ready to believe it yet, but I do see what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because... tell her why you like... Well, I will stop interrupting you.
Thanks, because after that scene, right after he says... Well,
you said it was good about, you know, the lab rat part, which I think that you agreed with him, until we keep watching the rest of the scene.
Right, that's right? What I'm trying to say.
Hi. We should write down notes before we do the show.
Interrupting something?
Would it really matter if you were?
We have a situation.
So I think that that scene reinforced was the fact that these guys has had a history of some kind, and that Colleen maybe was part of breaking it up because she's like, "Am I interrupting something?"
Or maybe it affected everybody who lived there. But Colleen is very bitter toward Juliet, mm-hmm. and she reports to Ben, as does everybody else, and he's the one who barks out orders.
Yeah.
Although I think that Ben and Juliet were romantically involved, maybe divorced. I don't know, but anyway, that's where I'm going with it, but I think that's a legitimate.
We'll see. And I think that maybe there's clones of Juliet because she's everywhere all the time. So there are some things that we didn't bring up last week that some people are like, hey, you didn't talk about. And so I wanted to say why we didn't talk about them. First off, the Stephen King book. We stopped referencing books because what have there been like 20 books, you guys?
And
every single one is a red herring. So I don't even pay attention to literature on the show anymore. And then Jack's dad coming over the intercom, I think we should have brought it up because it was something, but I think it was obviously a hallucination. It was sort of the same words that he was saying back in a flashback. There's, you know, some thought that maybe he's still alive. We did see him, I guess, walking around on the island. So,
and his casket was empty.
You know, and it's possible that he's alive and he's whatever, but I just didn't think that was a big deal. So, hey, is that everything? Are we going to go to the promo?
Yeah, let's look at what's happening. Hey, guess what? We get to catch up with everybody else next week. Our favorites, Locke, Hurley.
Desmond Naked.
For these survivors, it should have been the end. Next Wednesday, it's just beginning.
Run! Whoa, dude.
The hatch blew off your underwear.
I'm going to save Mr. Echo's life.
An all-new Lost, next Wednesday at 9, 8 central.
So they're all still freaking out in the woods.
I know. I love this show. I can't wait to get back to Locke, and it looks like Locke is in good form.
Yeah.
And they all lived after the hatch blew up, and I'm kind of excited about next week. And I actually think that this week's episode was better than the first, and so hopefully the third one will
get better.
Better and better.
We'll see.
And it's starting to answer questions, I think. And I also think it's just entertaining to watch, but maybe I'm just an idiot.
No.
Okay. I want to thank Patrick again for calling. If you guys have any feedback, you can call our feedback line at 1-206-20-DELTA. But until next week, I'm Jason.
And I'm Anna.
Seacrest.
You've just listened to the Delta Park Project with your hosts, Jason and Anna. Delta Park Project is a pop culture podcast produced each week in Beaverton, Oregon. Be part of the show. Call the voicemail hotline 1-206-20-DELTA or send an email to hangry@gmail.com. To find links for everything mentioned in this show, go to our website at deltaparkproject.com.